Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour. The third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast is now upon us. It is Saturday, December 19th, and you are tuned in to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we're coming to you live still, once again, from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, going out via the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. And as always, we are syndicated on the AM and FM affiliate stations of Liberty News Radio Network. And joining me now during this final hour, we've had another productive program, if I do say so myself, Keith Alexander. I helped chart the course that was taken by the radical left in their complete and utter takeover of the American institutions and what we might be able to do to take them back. That was during the first hour. The second hour, we featured our guest for the evening, Joe McCutcheon, ArkansasFreedom.com, and Joe was dishing on the real Mike Huckabee. But now, as I mentioned before, we're laying down our swords and talking about Christmas. We're just going to have a little familial bonding experience during tonight's third hour, and we may even take a few calls here. I am joined now by my co-host, Winston Smith, although Winston is not in studio this evening. He is calling from sunny Florida. And Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, are you connected over there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and I would just like to chime in before we lay our swords down completely.
I knew you'd be the last to lay it down, Ed.
Hey, I've got to say something about that. I tell you what, the last segment you had with Joe, I tell you what, that's a perfect example if our listeners were listening to him closely. It's why I think he's probably my favorite guest that we've ever had. I've got to chime in on this because I have some personal experience. Won't take me but a minute or two.
All right.
What he was talking about with the illegals and with the dumbed down churches, of which I'm a member of a Southern Baptist church now, and I'm really having a hard time staying in there because, I'll give you a quick example. Our pastor, he talks about the so-called Spanish frequently. Our Spanish congregation, you know, and I've mentioned that to you tonight, James. You know, we have no border with Spain. You know, we don't. Our country doesn't border Spain anywhere. We had a bunch of Mexicans. You know, he's a conservative right down the line, my pastor. Except when it comes to cultural things, he just, you know, he's very very liberal with this racial stuff. And I'm telling you, people, when he gets up under the stage and he starts talking about how we need to help these Mexicans even more, even though we're being taxed to death. I mean, I think he's going to get an orgasm sometimes. I really do. You know, some type of, it's almost like a sexual thing almost. And I can tell you, I know people in our church, we have a small church, and people are hurting there now. I know people that are behind on their house notes. They're worried about losing them. They're trying to, you know, having a hard time keeping their people in this this church school where my grandson goes to, and yet the ministers there, you know, our head minister or assistant ministers, they never mention our own people in this church. They're asking for more and more and more donations. This Christmas, I'll wind this up quick. This Christmas, he went out and he took donations to buy all these Mexicans new clothes. He went to Walmart and he bought all these, you know, gift certificates for like 60 Mexican families. And he told us something I'm sure you won't know, John. Winston, I don't think you'll know this either. But the economy is in a downturn now. And I'm sure y'all didn't know
that. I've
heard
something about that.
Isn't it shocking? I didn't know the economy was downturn. And I didn't know that the Mexicans were having a hard time because, you know, the economy is slowing down because we're headed to a depression. So, you know, but this depression that we're heading into, as usual, it doesn't affect, you know, the white it just affects them. So I, you know, in respect to Joe, I think it's my personal opinion, you know, that people, white people nowadays, especially Protestants, are just too damn stupid to be educated. I think they're beyond education. And we're going to have to get around them. We're going to have to use some other methods to change in what's going on in this country other than trying to educate these dumbed-down, poor, robotic bastards in the churches now and the general public. And I'll give you an example of how our people have been brainwashed. Right close to home, down here in Walls, Mississippi, about a month ago, there was a big scandal. You may be aware of this, James, where a black football coach has been having sex with the teenage girls down there. Hey, and it wasn't against their will. The girls were actually fighting over who was going to be having sex. So I'm winding up that. I'm just saying that. I'm winding it up right there. That's pretty much it.
Here's the thing. And I don't want to sound as schizophrenic, and I know what you're getting at, and these are just some of the examples that we see manifesting themselves in some of the churches today. But this is in no way, and I know you would agree, Ed, and Winston obviously as well, this is a Christian program in so much as the hosting staff are all members of churches and subscribers of the Christian faith. So I don't want to sound as schizophrenic as some of the people who are cropping up in these churches now, the politically correct. Our disdain with what actions are being taken by some of the people who claim to represent our faith is in no way indicative of the faith itself. The faith is what it's always is. It's always been a pure thing and something that certainly has done the world a lot of good. And obviously Christianity, as I said in the last segment, has played a monumental and fundamental role in Western civilization and all that we love about Western civilization. But now you've got a lot of people in the churches.
There would never been a Western civilization.
Right, exactly. Without Christianity, it would never, not as we know it anyway. Because we take issue with some of the people and some of the actions that we see in the modern day churches, particularly some of the bigger churches, that in no way means that we are condemning the faith itself. In fact, quite the contrary, which is what this segment is all about. And that being said, I want to bring Winston in here. Winston, would you agree with that, though? Because we really got to lay down the swords. I want to have an hour here as we head into Christmas that isn't going to get people all hot and bothered and riled up. We need to send them into Christmas with the an aura of peace and goodwill, and we're going to try to do that. But I think you would agree with what I just said, right, Winston?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear a lot of what my elder brother in arms, the bombardier, was saying. I guess we got a bad phone connection between he and I. But James, what you said about churches being part of the problem—that's essentially what you were saying. But churches are part of the problem with the denigration of Christmas. And that's absolutely true. A good friend of mine has written this week that part of that problem is that churches are running away from race. They are denying race, and they are even denying religion. And this friend of mine writes that as soon as we imagine that race and religion is of no importance, we become liberals. And he's absolutely correct. There are probably very few pulpits of otherwise, supposedly evangelical Christian churches who would not deny their pulpits for a Sunday to Michael King, a.k.a. Martin Luther King Jr., even though he was a philanderer, even though he was a plagiarist, and make no mistake about it, folks, plagiarism is theft, so he was a thief, he was a philanderer, he was a Marxist, he was anything but an honorable man, and if he were on just about any large church doorstep saying he'd like to preach that Sunday, the way to the pulpit would part like the Red Sea. But that's just the starry state of the church today.
And we paint with a broad
more.
Well, we paint with a broad brush. We're about to come up to break, and I got to close this off, or we're never going to get into what I want to do this hour. But we paint with a broad brush sometimes, and this certainly is.
I couldn't help it, but I'm going to shut up now.
Well, it's not every church either, and in fact, it's probably, obviously there's a lot of smaller churches in the rural South that still, proselytize the kind of Christianity that I think we adhere to. But nevertheless, if we keep this up, no one's going to want to celebrate Christmas. But Christmas is a great great spiritual day for our people, and we're going to talk about it. Laying down our swords here in the political cesspool is a little easier said than done, as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, but they're down now. They're gone. They're sheathed, and we're going to move on. I guess we're lucky that we have Eddie tonight. It's hunting season, and it was hard to beat him into the studio tonight and get him out of the deer stand, but we somehow managed to do it, right, Winston?
Hey, Winston and James, guess what I sent y'all for Christmas?
I have no clue.
Brand new swords.
Yeah, we've worn down we've worn them down. I tell you, doing this for 3 hours every week, I'll do it. Not to mention the stuff we do during the week. But we got to take a break, guys. We'll be right back.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, returning now to the program, and I promise, ladies and gentlemen, for the remainder of tonight's third hour, we're going to be talking about uplifting Christmas memories, what Christmas means to us, and certainly it goes without saying that we wish all of America, all of the institutions, including the church, was a little less politically correct, but we're not going to let any of that take away from the blessed message of Christmas, which obviously centers around the birth of Jesus Christ. And Winston, when you think about Christmas, you know, what does Christmas mean to you?
Christmas means to me, well, I could answer that a lot of ways, but what it means to me is God's solution for a big problem that I had. And that problem was this, James, that at one time, God was angry at me. God was furious with me. And in order to relieve that guilt, in order to relieve that fury, in order to assuage God's wrath against me, his righteous wrath against me, he sent his son from the throne room of heaven and sent him down to this wretched earth to live as a man among men and to die on the cross, so that no longer was I a defendant in God's court of justice, but now I am a son in God's very living room. I have the privilege of being able to approach the Almighty Master of the Universe, the King of the Universe, the Creator of the Universe, and I can call him Abba, Papa. I can call him Father. And I know that he's no longer guilty, no longer angry at me, no longer furious at me. But now he counts me as one of his sons. That's really the very least I can say about Christmas, and I know that's a lot. It's my meditation frequently. What the coming of Jesus means to me. It means, yes, it means the beautiful scene in the manger, which actually was kind of a barbaric sort of thing. I mean, here you have a young couple, and they couldn't find a place to stay. They were homeless, and so the best they could do was to give birth to their son, to this child, amongst a bunch of animals. But that's the way, you know, that may seem foolish, but the Word of God teaches us that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise men of this world. And I'll tell you, James, just thinking about how God was so angry with me. You pick up that sermon by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and people used to shriek in fear as Edwards preached that sermon because they knew that God was angry at them. God was righteously angry at them, and they were like an insect dangling over the fires of hell. And yet, because of Christmas, all that anger is swept away, and now we are sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe.
And you so remarkably well put, Winston, and you think of a story, such a great love story, the story of Christmas, such a...
Oh, it's love's greatest story.
Such a beautiful story, and as I said, the greatest story ever told, and in my opinion, a story that's true, and this is something that we now find under attack, and certainly this show tries to the best of our ability to combat the people who would combat our people and our faith and our culture, and we try to do that, but Christmas time, I mean, above anything else, it gives us a time for reflection and a respite and to surround ourselves with the ones we love and sharing that fellowship, the Christmas spirit. You can't understate what the Christmas spirit means to those of us who subscribe to the tenets of Christianity. And then all of the fun family experiences and memories that come with this time. It's just, Eddie, favorite Christmas memories. I mean, where do you begin? I mean, where can you begin? I mean, it's some of the greatest times of my life have been in the month of December when you get together.
You know what? I can think back to a time, and I can't match my younger brother in eloquence, but I'll give you a homespun version. I go back to 1958. I was 10 years old. I was going, you know, that was the year I would have been 11. I lived in a rural area, and you guys know how hard I came up. I've told you about it before, how, you know, my dad was in construction. He stayed on the road all the time, and he was a, I loved that man. I idolized him, but he was a drunk. I can't lie about that. He was a hard drinking, typical Irishman, a back alley barroom brawler. And, he was pretty irresponsible at times. So we had saved money, me and my, elder sister, and we had given him money to buy some Christmas decorations. I had gone out and we had snow that year. And, I took an axe and I just scoured the countryside. There wasn't a lot of good cedars in that area then. And to this day, cedar is always my favorite Christmas tree. I love the smell of it. I found a nice cedar tree. I cut it. And like I said, we gave him money to buy some decorations. Well, he was gone several days. And when he returned, he was drunk and he had one ball, one little ball to go on the tree. So, you know, I put it on the tree, but that's all we had. And we had something to eat. It wasn't a whole lot. But do you know, that didn't dampen my spirits one iota. I still idolized my dad. When he was home, we hunted every weekend.
I believe that.
We did. That's right. He taught me my love of hunting. I went in the woods the first time when I was 5 years old. I got my first gun when I was 9. My uncle in Kentucky, my dad's youngest brother, sent me my first shotgun that very year. November, this was 1 month before December, and I was still walking on clouds. But there was a spiritual element in my life, and that's before I even realized what the term Christian meant. I came to Christianity late in life, but I think, and this is God's truth, I believe that God sent the Holy Spirit to me, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit exists, that the gospel is true. And, you know, folks, if I can be led to Jesus Christ, anybody could. I mean, Charles Manson could be rehabilitated if I could. I know I'm not perfect, but like my younger brother Winston, when I die, I know where I'm going. Just like my other younger brother, well, actually my spirit son, James, we know where we're going when we die. We're going to be with God Almighty and His Son, Jesus. But even then, under those circumstances, my spirit was never dampened, and I know it was a gift from God. And you know, James, one of the Christmas presents I can get now will be coming in April. And I'm telling you what, if that little girl of yours could just be born on April the 6th, I would never ask for another Christmas present.
April 6th, of course, the birthday of Pappy Bombardier.
That's right. And if somehow we could get L worked into her name some kind of way, that's my middle name. It's not an initial. L is my name. It's Eddie L. Miller. I have an old Ozark Mountaineer from the Ozarks of Missouri. She was an aunt. She's my favorite aunt. She's been dead for many years, rest her soul. I loved her dearly.
Eddie, hold that story. Hold that story. We got a break. We're going to come back. More Christmas. More Christmas reflections right after this.
Political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about Christmas, what Christmas means, some favorite Christmas memories, and we appreciate you accepting us, warts and all. We're rough around the edges, so to speak. You know, but I think that the real essence that we convey is what has contributed in part to the show's success. What you see is what you get with us. So none of us went to broadcasting school. We do this show because we love our people and we love our cause. And we do the best we can with the talent that God gave us. And it's, you know, I think for that and many other reasons, we've produced a show that is second to none, a little unorthodox Christmas celebration tonight, but it's something that I just felt compelled to do. And of course, coming up in the final segment tonight, we're going to be presenting to you a biblical reading of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. That is the what is known as the Christmas story from the Bible, and I look forward to sharing that with you. That's something we have done every year on this program. Every year we have shared with you a reading of the Christmas story during our last broadcast before Christmas, and tonight will be no different. I was talking to Eddie in the last segment about some of his most vivid Christmas memories, and I don't know if I have one that particularly stands out, but I will say that I was blessed with a great family. Thankfully, my parents are still with me, although they are getting older. All of my grandparents have passed away, but when I think of Christmas, I think of family. And I think of coming here and sharing great times with the relatives that you know, God gave me, and just, you know, the different food and being with my grandparents and being with all the people that have passed away or moved on. And no time, I don't think there's any time throughout the course of a year that can compare to the kind of time you spend with your family during the Christmas season. And obviously it's right around the corner again. We're in the vortex now. We're past the point of no return. Christmas is coming, and coming fast. And so over the course of the next few days, before we reconvene next week with our next show here, Christmas will have come and gone for 2009, and I look forward to getting together with my family and doing it again. And Winston, what about you? When you think of Christmas memories, do any particularly stand out in your mind, some more than others, or is it just kind of the whole general symposium as it is with me?
I think the one that really stands out in my memory, it was a long time ago. My parents divorced when I was very young, and for a few years, it was just my mother, my older brother, myself, and we ended up in Southern California. And then my mother met the man who has become my stepfather. And the first Christmas that we had with my stepfather, he went all out and just showered my brother and I with presents, because for a couple of Christmases we had nothing. My mom was a single mother, and even back in those days, it was tough for a single mother to support two young boys. But you know, we didn't know we had it all that bad until my stepdad came along and showed us how good we could have it for Christmas. But even then, my parents were not religious people. They didn't go to church at all. But they always made arrangements for me to go to church, especially on Christmas and Easter. But I can hardly remember a Sunday in my life when I did not go to church, and it was due to my stepdad. He himself, I don't think he ever set foot in a church in his life, but you know, he made certain that I got to church. And I guess that's just I guess when I think of Christmas, I think of my stepfather.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting how some of those memory surface to the top above all others, and you know, they're all special, but inevitably when you think of a certain time or a certain place, one thing comes to the surface, and hopefully the audience is appreciating our reflections this evening. What about this year, though, Winston? What's on tap at the Smith household for Christmas 09?
Well, the first thing is to get me home. I'm traveling right now, folks, but I'm going to be going home this week, and I'm just going to relax with my family and go out in my wood shop, and I'm just going to relax. I'm going to be with my family and read the Christmas story to them, and we usually go on a ham or turkey bender for a day, and but Christmas is a... Christmas at our house is always a big to-do. My wife is of Eastern European extract, and I'll tell you, those people, they love Christmas. I remember the first time I read, who was it? I got a hold of a book of some short stories by Chekhov, and I was reading one of the stories to my wife, and I'll tell you, the Russians, they take Christmas deadly seriously. And I was reading her this story about a monk who was taking a ferry across a swollen creek there somewhere in Russia, and it really spoke to her. It just touched her heart, reading about her people and the depth of emotion that Eastern Europeans feel for Christmas. I think they feel it differently than we Americans of British extraction or Welsh extraction, in my case, they feel it within their bones, within the marrow of their bones. But Christmas is always very special for my wife's family, and she does a heck of a job at translating that into our own little family traditions.
Winston, you know what? I think you're right. In fact, I'm sure you are. Would you say that the Eastern Europeans, Ukraine, Russia, they're less secular than we are here in the West, and they've been less indoctrinated to the
I don't know if they're less secular than we are, but those people over there have suffered such in ways that we Americans, we just cannot imagine it. We cannot imagine the kind of suffering that those people not only endured, but survived, and in some cases thrived. Religion thrived in the old Soviet Union because that's what happens when the church is persecuted. Religion thrives. You can't snuff that out. That's something that's intrinsic within the human nature. And you know, look at what happened with Moldova this past week. I mean, they put up a menorah. The Jews put up a menorah in the town square there, and the Moldovians went and tore the thing down and destroyed it. You know, they take it seriously. There's another menorah up at the White House, and folks, make no mistake about it. The whole purpose of Hanukkah is to detract from Christmas. Maybe somebody at European Americans United can get somebody to file a lawsuit against that symbol of the synagogue of Satan there on the White House lawn. But, you know, we want to keep this light and we want to keep it
hard to do, isn't it? Yeah, I understand. Well, I mean, you can't separate. I mean, we can't separate. A lot of people say they can't separate their faith from their politics. Well, I guess we can't separate anything from our politics. But, Eddie, what about you? I guess you'll be in the blacksmith shop sharpening steel over Christmas, but
that's a blacksmith shop. I haven't done that in a long time, but I'll be in the wood shop for certain.
You'll be in the wood shop. Pappy will be in the smithy. But besides that, Ed, what are the Miller? What's the Miller Brood going to be doing on the 25th?
Well, what we're going to be doing, my daughter, who she's a workaholic. She works at Federal Express, and then she works part time at DoubleTree Inns. You folks know, you knew you in Winston, and she is supposed to get off by about 3 PM on Christmas Day. And my wife is she's cooking everything under the sun. I mean, you would not believe what she cooked for Thanksgiving. I mean, it looked like stuff that came out of a calendar or a magazine. And God Almighty, it was good. I'm really looking forward to it. So they're all going to meet over our house. My grandson, my son-in-law is like my own son. I love the guy to death. Loved him the first time I ever saw him. I either hate people or love them. Seems like within 24 hours. But they're all going to be over here, and we're pretty much going to do like my little brother Winston is going to do. We're just going to, we're going to have a feast on all kinds of stuff, and I love sweet potato casserole, and he just makes all kinds of stuff. But that's what I'm looking forward to doing that pretty much, when just being together with the family, like you, James. Christmas without family would be pretty interesting.
No, you're exactly right. We got to go to a break. I hear our music, and we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, folks, the world is certainly a dark and dreary place this current day and age, but I have hope that we can reverse these trends, and one of the things that gives me hope is the Christmas story. If that doesn't fill you with hope and cheer and goodwill, then I don't know what will. And as we've said, we always try to share with you a reading of the Christmas story in our final broadcast before Christmas, and of course this would be it. Unfortunately, here at the studio, I forgot my Bible at home. When I read the Christmas story, I prefer to read it from the King James Version, old school. I like the King's English. It just sounds better. Would you agree, Winston?
Oh, certainly.
Well, here at the studio, I could only manage to find a New American Standard Version, which is better than nothing at all. Winston, do you have a King James over there?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I always have a Bible with me, brother.
Well, I just figured you might use the Hotel Gideon place of Bibles.
Well, I could, but I have mine with me.
Well, would you like to share with the audience the reading this year, since you have the King's official version?
Yes, I do.
Well, James, if I have time, I have a quick question to ask our little brother Winston. He mentioned a poem, a Christmas poem, a Russian poem. If he would just let the audience know how to spell that Russian name, because I'd like to read that poem myself. got my curiosity going, and I've loved, a lot of people don't know about me, but I love to read. I used to skip school to stay home and read when I was a kid. And Winston, do you know how to spell that I'm sure you do, that Russian's name you mentioned that wrote that poem? Was it Chekhov?
Winston.
I couldn't hear a word he said. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That's what happens when you're not in studio. He was asking, could you tell him very quickly before we do our reading here, the name of the poet, the Russian poet that you were referring to earlier?
Anton Chekhov.
How do you spell it?
C-H-E-K-O-V.
Did you get that, Eddie?
He's writing a story called Ward Number 5.
K-O-D.
He was a doctor. He died of tuberculosis, but he was a doctor, and he's a darn good writer.
All right, spell it one more time for Pappy. He's a little slow over there.
His name is Anton Chekhov. His last name is Chekhov. C-H-E-K-O-V.
Okay. I'm like, Winston, I have a little trouble hearing him, but I got it that time. Thank you very much, Brother Winston.
We'll get it worked out. Now, Winston, if you could, and if you don't mind, doing us the honor this year as we head into the home stretch of tonight's broadcast, Luke chapter 2, obviously verses 1 through 20, that is the Christmas story. Would you mind sharing it with the audience tonight, Winston?
I wouldn't mind at all. Be honored to. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Absolutely beautiful story, the story of Christmas. Thank you so much, Winston. You read that far better than I could have done. And I just hope in some way that hearing that tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the radio has somehow made this Christmas a little more special for you.
Story, and it would sound good.
I sure love the Winston. I'll tell you what, you may have missed your calling, brother. You may should have been a minister, at least part-time. I sure enjoyed that. I've got a lot out of it. I really did.
Well, that's the story of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. And again, you know, we wanted to bring this to you as we do each and every year to hopefully bring about a sense of peace and hope and love into your hearts. It's important to sort of reset these things. Obviously, over the course of a year, we're bruised and battered as we fight in this culture war, and we take beatings from all sides, but here at the time of Christmas especially, at least for a week, we're going to reflect and ponder and pray and hope and have faith that the faith of our people that was instrumental in them carving this nation from a wilderness, that was instrumental in all of the great advancements of Western civilization, that it can once again be made pure and play a role in our reawakening and in our renaissance. And that, more than anything, is what I'm hoping for. We talked about early in the hour, the churches are certainly not without fault, and there's a lot of blame to be laid there, and some of the things that they're doing and this embracing of political correctness to an extent, and of multiculturalism and of illegal immigration and a lot of the other things that to me are incompatible. But that's, you know, a battle that there's plenty of time to fight, but not on Christmas. Not on Christmas. On Christmas, we surround ourselves with people that we love, and we pause. We take a moment to pause and thank God for the things that we still have and for the things that he's given us. And we treasure these things, and we want to use this time to better prepare ourselves for the year that come. At least that's what I'm planning to do over the course of the next week. And, of course, next week we're going to have another fun show here as we reflect on the year that was and the Political Cesspools 2009 Year in Review show. It'll feature the entire cast and crew, Bill Rowland, Keith Alexander, of course, my two brothers that are on the night, Eddie and Winston, and, of course, myself. I'll be back, as always, and we're going to do a year-in-review show, and then we'll be ready to go into January 2010 with a full head of steam. But, Winston, a final word tonight as we move towards Christmas.
Well, speaking of our next show, our year-in-review show, I want to give a little tease. I'm going to deliver a top 10 list, and I'm not going to tell you what the top 10 list is, but I think it's pretty good. I've been mulling over it for a couple of weeks now, and I think I've got a pretty darn good top 10 list here.
And the only prerequisite is that anything in the top 10 had to occur during calendar year 2009. Now,
okay, I get it.
Yeah, I guess I didn't need to clarify that. That was pretty self-explanatory. But I'm looking forward to that, Winston. Now you've piqued my interest as we try to promote the program to everyone else. Now you've promoted it. Now I'm going to be sure to tune in because I want to hear that. And
I hope you're sure to tune in.
Well, we'll all be sure to share our favorite memories of the broadcasting year 2009 for the Political Cesspool, and there were a lot of highlights, a lot of them. And a lot of strides made, and certainly our friends here at Liberty News Radio were instrumental in that. And I'd like to take this time now to wish to our operator Scott tonight, who's filling in for our regular board op Denny, a very Merry Christmas and a blessed rest of the year. And to obviously Sam and Michael at Liberty News Radio, our best Christmas wishes to you and for everything you've done for us. We love y'all very much over there, our Liberty News Radio family, and certainly that those wishes and good tidings go out to everyone in our listening audience and to the crew, the production crew and staff of the Political Cesspool, the people who work behind the scenes here and, of course, in Utah with Liberty News Radio, and to everyone else who tunes in. Thank you so much. Thanks again to everyone from around the world who has sent us Christmas cards this year and for the well wishes. You just don't know how much that means to us. I started off the program by saying that. I'm gonna close tonight by saying that. You are our sustaining force, our enabling force. And ladies and gentlemen, we love you very much, and we're here for you. We're here to fight for you. We apologize for the times that we failed you, but we want you to know that we always try to bring to you our best efforts and nothing but the very best. And we appreciate you for putting up with us and letting us serve as your voice. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that 2010 is our best year ever. Good night, everybody, and may God bless you. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.